Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and I sincerely hope that you are reading the book of Genesis through. Those of you who stay with us day after day, and for those of you who have not tuned in before, we're studying the book of Genesis together, and we're in the 15th chapter of this wonderful book. As it has been well said, the book of Genesis is a seed plot of the Bible. And we've been dealing here with the reward of faith in Abraham. And I'm repeating these things because some of you have not been listening in. In chapter 13, we have Abram as the man of peace. He didn't want to have trouble with Lot. In chapter 14, he's the man of war. He defeats the armies of the enemy. At the end of chapter 14, we have the dignity of faith. He spurned the goods of the world because he had caught a glimpse that his God owned everything. Wonderful thing, isn't it? Once Christ fills your vision, my friend, nothing else is attractive. Oh, that we Christians might in some way experience the joy and the blessing of the wonders of having fellowship with the eternal Son of God. And to think of all the treasures we have in him. I repeat the statement, when Christ floods your vision, when Christ floods your heart, the world has no attraction. And then we came to chapter 15, and we have the reward of faith. Having turned down the goods of this world from the king of Sodom, God says, now, Abram, I'm your shield, and I'm your reward. Then he gave him the promise of a heavenly seed, and then he ratified this covenant in verses 7 to 11. And then you have the revelation of God's purpose in verses 12 on down through. And we were discussing this question of the purpose of God, that the prophecy concerning the captivity of the descendants of Abraham was given to Abraham, that they would be strangers in a strange land and would serve them for 400 years. And afterwards they would come out with great substance, and that God would judge that nation, which was Egypt, as you well know. It was Egypt. And in the fourth generation, they would come out, but they would not come out until the cup of the Amorites, the iniquity of the Amorites, was not yet full. And when that cup of iniquity was filled full, then God used Israel to be the surgeon's knife to cut out the cancer that was among the nations. I don't want to go any further into this except to just point it out. Now, starting in at verse 17, you have God prophesying also that he would be with them in their suffering. It came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And then he gives you the names of the nations that were in that land, ten great nations. All that land was to be for Abraham, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. But what I'm after is in verse 17. God was going to be with them in their suffering. Now, when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20, if you want to put that down, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20, and Jeremiah, chapter 11, verses 3 to 5, you have this statement concerning it. For example, the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, and you are this day. In other words, Moses was confirming what God had said to Abraham, that God would be with them in their affliction. And the same thing is told in Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 3 to 5. And then you have this burning lamp. The Lord was with them to direct them, never left them for a moment. Now you find this in 2 Samuel 22, 29. 2 Samuel 22, 29. You find it in Isaiah chapter 62, the first verse. And then, of course, you find it in Exodus chapter 3, 7 to 8. And I might use it for us today. I would use that verse, the 119th Psalm, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So you have in this prophecy, the prophecy concerning a nation. Now the promise was to Abraham and to his seed. God was going to give them a land. They're going to be 400 years in captivity. God would lead them out. He would be with them in affliction. He would guide them. He would direct them. He would be with them in their afflictions when they were among the nations, and then their restoration. And if you read your Bible, you will notice it's so true. People tell me today why God is through with the nation Israel, that the church is spiritual Israel. Not so. Not so. The church is not spiritual Israel. God has always had a remnant in Israel. You can't read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Hosea, all these Old Testament prophets, without realizing, in one hand you have blessing, and the other hand you have judgment. To the nation, it's going to be under the judgment of God, but God always has his remnant. Even today, while I'm talking to you, God has a remnant. Still got a spiritual remnant. If you read Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, well, the Apostle Paul takes that up. Now we come to chapter 16. And in chapter 16, we have the patience of faith. And here we have one of those sad pictures where Abram failed God. Now let's remember, we have the reward of faith. We have an unconditional covenant. We have the purpose of God revealed to us concerning Abraham's seed, concerning Israel, the nation. Now we come to chapter 16. In chapter 15, we had the man of faith believing God. In chapter 16, we have the man in the flesh obeying Sarah. Chapter 15, you have Abram walking by the Spirit of God. In chapter 16, he walks after the flesh. See? After the blessing comes the test. This is always true, by the way. Always true. We were mentioning this, you remember, in chapter 14, he defeats the great armies of Amraphel and Kedorlaomer, and after that, he had the revelation that his God was El Elyon, and then comes the test. Just like our Savior, the moment our Lord came on the scene at Jordan, and was the Spirit of God came upon him, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You remember that? Always after a blessing comes a test. Just as sure, my friend, just as sure as you put your trust in the Savior, you're going to have tests. And the more you walk with God, the more severe the tests. God never tests us any more than we're able to bear. Tests is not for the destruction of faith. Faith is never destroyed by tests. Faith is purified by tests. Now we see this in Abram. In chapter 12, for example, he went out not knowing whither he went. Then came a test. There was a famine in the land. What did he do? Went out to Egypt, got himself into trouble. When he failed God, he failed man. Here you have it again. He's had great victory, and the Lord's given him a wonderful promise that his seed would be like this, like the stars of the heavens, a heavenly seed. It was counted to him for righteousness. Abram said, amen to God. But you know, he's been promised a son. Chapter 12. Chapter 13, like the dust of the earth. Chapter 15, like the stars of heaven. But he's still waiting. And you know, 10 years is a long time to wait. So I read these words. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. But she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray you, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Now let me just stop here a minute. God never recognized that union. You'll find that when you go down through the chapter. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said to Abram, My wrong be upon you. I have given my maiden to your bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and you. And Abram said to Sarai, Behold, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as it pleases you. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fed from her face. Now here you have the story. The failure of Abram. You know, as I said a moment ago, it's so hard to wait. It's so easy to want to help God out. Now remember, there have been 10 years. Abram is 99 years of age. Pardon me. Abram is 85 years of age. Sarah is 75 years of age. They've been 10 years in the land. And all that they've had to stand upon are the promises of God. And Sarah, you know, she wanted to help God out. There's no hope for me. The Lord hath restrained me from bearing, but I'm sure that Abraham can give me a child through Hagar. Now listen, this is not a question of immorality. This was the custom of the day. You have it with Jacob when he went down to Padan Aram. You remember he had children through the maids of his wives, of Leah and Rachel. So it is here, I think, for the promulgation of the race you have this. This is not adultery. This is not fornication. This is where a woman takes her maid and puts her into the hands of her husband for the purpose of getting children. As I say, this was common among them. But the trouble was, they couldn't wait God's time. You know, I can't help but think of it. Their failure. You know, there's a verse in the 37th Psalm which says, Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. But we can't wait. See, you're the same thing with Jacob and Esau. You're the same thing with Moses in Egypt. Moses thought that by his hand, when he was 40 years of age, that he was going to deliver Israel. And when he was 80 years of age, God says, Come now. Then he balked on his job. And so now we demand results. It's so true in Christian service. We judge things by what we see instead of walking with God. When you call an evangelist to your church, you expect to get results. And if you can't get results one way, you're going to get it another way. There's a great deal of flesh, energy of the flesh. We use stunts and tricks and everything else instead of trusting God. I'd say this very, very solemnly. May God grant to us to be real in our ministry, to walk with God. You see, well, a fellow, he has results, that fellow over there, and the other church is having results, and this is how he does it. So you're going to follow suit. And it doesn't work out. It's just nothing else but the works of the flesh. And you're going to have trouble. Just as sure as Ishmael was born, Abram had trouble, and Sarai had trouble, and Hagar had trouble. You get out of the will of God and walk your own way in the flesh, you're going to have trouble. God wants us to walk with him. Never mind the results. That's in God's hands. That's God's responsibility to get results. Our responsibility is to give our testimony, to give the word of God out. And God grant we'll do it by the Spirit of God. People might have a genuine experience with God. Remember, no man is saved apart from the word of God and the Spirit of God. As 1 Thessalonians 1:5, and I quote this verse again so much, Paul says, Our gospel came not to you in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, with much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The Spirit of God, using the Word of God through the man of God. This is God's program. This is God's method of reaching the unsaved. And you can't improve on God's method. You might get a lot of Ishmaels. And it's true. There are a lot of Ishmaels in our in our groups. All through the land, a lot of Ishmaels. We make them members without knowing Christ. No transformation. God grant that we'll walk before God and give the word of God in the power of the Spirit of God, that people might know our precious Savior. I say again, you can't improve on God's method. But sometimes it calls for patience. And so with Abram, it's been 10 years, 10 long years, no child. May I again remind you of Psalm 37:5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, not you. Unbelief can easily make all kinds of schemes. We're all full of schemes to help God out. But it always brings trouble. Always brings trouble. And may I say, the best Christians can be tempted here to manifest the weakness of the flesh. It's easy to begin in the Spirit. And as Galatians 3:3 says, as Paul says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Nor was saved by the operation of the Spirit of God through the Word of God, and is going to be continued by the Spirit of God. So we have Abram's failure in verses 2 to 6. Abram's failure. He hearkened unto Sarah, who wanted to help God out. You know, oftentimes in our desire to help the purpose of God, or to help God's program, we might become a snare to others. Our motives might be right, but our actions are wrong. Sarah's motive was right. She wanted a child. God promised her a child. Her motive was right. Her actions were wrong. You know, I couldn't think about this. Adam, the father of mankind, of the human race, he hearkened to Eve. And the result was, he sinned. And it affected everybody in Adam, right down to the present time. Abraham is the father of those who believe. And he hearkened unto Sarah, his wife. And the result was Ishmael. And it's affected the people of Israel right down to the present time. They're surrounded by the descendants of Ishmael. That little nation of Israel today is surrounded by her enemies, who are the descendants of Ishmael. See. If you take Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 to 31, you have that. Ever afterwards, the descendants of Hagar have been a hindrance to God's people. Now the result, you take from verse 7 right down to 16, you have the result. You notice what happened? You have a disrupted home. You've got turmoil. You've got jealousy. You have insolence. You have fighting. And no longer do you have peace in the family. No longer do you have peace in the family. You see, Sarai at first was... she was expedient. She gave Hagar to Abram. And then she became jealous. Then she was unkind to Abram. Then she became irreverent before God. Then she became cruel to Hagar, the one she had brought out of Egypt, the one she put into Abram's bosom. I tell you, friends, jealousy is an awful thing. And you know what happened? It caused Abram to live 13 years out of fellowship with God. 13 years without a revelation. 13 wasted years. What was he doing? Playing with the fruit of the flesh. My friend, you and I can't afford to walk out of fellowship with God. Time spent out of the will of God is wasted time. Now, just a word before I leave it. You'll notice that he did appear unto Hagar. Grace sought her, and the righteous one counseled her and said, return and submit to your mistress. Didn't say, go back to Abram. Go back to Sarah. You're still her servant. You submit yourself to her. But he also gave Hagar a promise. I will multiply your seed exceedingly, and you'll be not numbered for multitude. And you're going to call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. And she called the name of God, Thou Lord, seest me, and so on. And we read that Hagar bare Abram a son, called his name Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years of age when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And then you've got silence. For 13 years you have silence. And you remember in chapter 14, 13 was the number of rebellion. 12 years they served Kedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. 13 is the number of rebellion. Here you have Abram. Without a revelation. And did you notice there was no altar there? There was no tent in the chapter. When Abram is out of the will of God, there's no altar, there's no tent, there's no fellowship, there's no testimony. 13 years playing with Ishmael. May I plead with your heart today, Christian friend, please, please walk with God today. I've been saying this over the air. Walk with God today. God will take care of tomorrow, but you walk with God today. You can't bring back yesterday. And remember, time spent out of the will of God, time spent out of fellowship with God, is wasted time. Now may the Lord bless you today, and may God grant to you his joy and his peace today to enjoy your Savior today. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.